about that.
In preparation for the coming school year, I've been asked to make a presentation that could be useful at the faculty meeting to be able to inspire greater passion in Emunah and Bitochen in our students. It's a formidable task, but I think some Roshei Prokim, some basic principles, concepts could be helpful, and hopefully they would be expanded upon by the individual Machanchim and Machanchis. I think that before we even begin, we have to have the realization that people are only really ready to believe, to accept, to internalize concepts, facts, realities, only when they recognize and realize and feel that they're beneficial to them. That seems to be the yesod. If I cannot realize how something that I'm going to learn is going to enhance my quality of life, is going to make me happy, and happiness is the most usual operative word today, then I really don't pay attention. I don't even want to pay attention. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to accept it. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to know it, because I don't see how it's going to enhance my life. And even if I might be somewhat open, but if what I'm being taught and told and convinced is burdensome, then I certainly am not ready to accept unless I recognize that it's going to make me happy. And I think that concept cannot be overstated and cannot be over belabored, because it's really very critical. It seems that the most simplest definition of happiness is the word osher. Aleph shin resh shoresh seems to be ishur, validation. Happiness is feeling good about oneself. If I feel good about myself, I'm happy. Purpose is a critical ingredient to feeling good about myself. Because if I don't have any purpose in this world, how can I possibly feel good about myself? Pleasure, by the way, does not make me feel good about myself, because I become too dependent on outside stimuli and pleasures and enjoyments and feelings, and they send me the message that internally I'm not happy with myself. I really don't feel good about myself. I don't appreciate myself, and I need constant input from the outside to get through the day or to get through the life. And therefore that's antithetical to happiness. Happiness is making me feel good about myself. Purpose is one of the most important ingredients. Now, just the claim of Yahadus, before getting into any details, is an amazing claim. Because there's a Borei Olam who created the world. And he identified himself, he showed himself in Mitzrayim with his full prowess of creative powers. Because that's it. He took the laws of nature and turned them upside down, predicted by a Novi, ended at the appropriate time, in minute detail, not only for the Klal, but even for each individual Jew and each individual Mitzri, as we all know about the Nisim that took place in Mitzrayim. And then he comes to Har Sinai, and he identifies himself. This is after Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and untold, unparalleled miracles that millions of eyewitnesses saw. And then he comes and he says, Shalom Aleichem. All those miracles you saw, that's me. I did it. I'm the Borei Olam. The Ramban says that that's the first yediyah that humankind that we have about the Bria Se'olam, because Odom HaRishon was created at the end of the Bria, the end of the sixth day. Memela, no eyewitnesses, but these were eyewitnesses to creation. Millions of them. And then they heard the Creator himself reveal himself and tell him, and this is the reason why. This is your purpose. Klal Yisrael has a unique claim to happiness, a unique claim to knowing, incontrovertibly, knowing because the Beir Olam himself revealed himself to us. He revealed himself as the Creator, and then he revealed himself as the Creator, telling us the purpose for which he created us and for which he created the world. And therefore, Klal Yisrael has a unique opportunity to feel validated, knowing their true purpose, and to have happiness. And this, I believe, is very, very critical as a basis, as a baseline, before we even begin. I think that we also have to keep in mind, if we wish, and now we're not even talking about the passion for Emunah and Bitochen, just the idea itself, we have to understand that there is natural resistance. And therefore, when there is natural resistance, we have to be very careful to speak in a very non-confrontational, soft, matter-of-fact way. Those that come and say, we're going to prove to you the Mitzias Hashem. We're going to prove to you the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that there was a Maimon Har Sinai and the Beir Olam revealed himself and gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. These words are too harsh for anyone to hear without evoking a certain measure of resistance. And therefore, besides the fact that we have to know that it's beneficial, which, by the way, we say every day, Emes, V'yatzi, V'nochem, V'kayim, V'yosher, V'ohu, V'nechmod, V'noim, V'adir, M'sukun, V'kubal, V'toy, V'yofer. It's true and it's beautiful. And we need both in order to internalize it and to accept it. But besides that, we have to speak in very, very gentle ways. The word proof is a very harsh word. The word beyond a shadow of a doubt is a very absurd word. In fact, it's a curse. It's a curse to curse a person to be seeing shadows for the rest of his life because maybe this, maybe that, maybe who knows what. But no. And therefore, it's very appropriate if we wish to establish the yesod of Emunah, which of course then leads to Bitochen in Hashem, which is the next step, that really the way to begin is just comparative religion. Yahadus has a claim. Nobody else ever made that claim. Why not? Interesting. It's a winning claim. A public revelation is much more credible than a private revelation, as most of the religions claim. Private revelation. An individual in a dream, someplace in an upstate New York hotel on the way to Damascus. Private revelation, and that's the basis. Public revelation is so much more powerful. Millions of eyewitnesses, and they wrote down a document, and they passed that document accurately from generation to generation to this very day. The Teretz sees. You can't get away with such a claim unless it actually happened. Very simple. And Memela, nobody has copied it. And if you will ask the question, that's a very interesting question, why do they even bother to record the Maimon Har Sinai in the Christian Bible and in the Quran they find it as well, and others, why? Well, I would say, and then they have to deny that they say, well, Hashem changed his mind. Very simple, because they need that. Because otherwise, why should anyone believe that Hashem speaks to any human being? But once the Jews have shown that to be a historical fact, okay, so now we're saying he changed his mind, he made a private revelation, and in that private revelation he told them something different. The Torah itself says that private revelations don't work. There's a parsha of Novi Sheker, we read it in this parsha, and the parsha of Novi Sheker says that if you're not a Novi, that will show himself to be a Novi Emes and do the greatest miracles. And then he'll say, Nelcho Navdo Lehim Acherim? He's put to death, misosa bechenek, because the Torah was given in such a way that it can't be changed. And they, Nebuch, have to come and say, there was a Maimon Har Sinai, but then there was a change, and they have no answer to this question. Either the Torah itself says that there couldn't be a change, that he doesn't change, that it's never going to change. Even a Baskum and a Shemayim can't change it. A Novi that's proved to be a Novi Emes can't change it. No, Akasha. They don't have an answer. So it's poshut that this claim is so superior to anything else. And the reason why others don't claim it must be obvious. And the subtlety of that, rather than coming to say, I'm proving something to you, is far more powerful. Because it doesn't evoke the defense mechanisms. It's, okay, that's it. Wow, very interesting. Why doesn't anybody else make such a claim? And the truth of the matter is that the world knows that this is historical record. It's written in all the history books, let alone the Torah itself. So this is really, the approach has to be one of a very, very gentle approach. Then there are really two things that should be part of our teaching throughout the year. And by the way, for most classes, for most children, elementary, junior high school, even high school, when this is done in one or two massive sessions, a lot of it gets lost. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. But as a mechanech or a mechaneches, I have the ability over the course of the year to throw in different indications, different pieces of information, many of them done on the parsha, that just a mechazik this. And what are we mechazik? We're mechazik two things. We have to be mechazik the truth of Torah Misinai, and we have to be mechazik the benefits of a life of Torah. And the way we're mechazik the truth of Torah Misinai, once we have been able to show not only the overall benefit that we have a purpose in life, but even the individual benefits of the mitzvahs, some of which may seem to be burdensome to our students. And once we can show the benefits, then we can begin to deal with the two critical issues which have to do with appreciating emuna. And of course, the one is that the Torah has Mesorah, the Torah has Edus. There was a generation, millions of eyewitnesses, who witnessed not only the miracles of Mitzrayim, recognizing the Creator, not only hearing the Creator speak directly to them and identifying and connecting himself with those miracles so they knew who was speaking to them, but he also spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, that they're going to speak. He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, in direct earshot of all these people. So millions of eyewitnesses heard Hashem speak and give the purpose for which he created them, speak to Moshe Rabbeinu as the official Novi spokesman teacher who's going to teach them everything that he did not clarify at Har Sinai. He's going to be taught it, and he was divinely appointed Bifnei Am Va'edo as the official spokesman. And then, this was written in a document that doesn't say, once upon a time there were events. It says, Atem re'isem ki min ha'shomayim dibarti imochem. Atem re'isem asher osisi b'mitzroyim. Time and again, maybe between 50 and 100 times, the Torah refers to the fact that that first generation were eyewitnesses. And taking that document and passing it on to the next generation, and then the next generation after that, that's testimony, eyewitness testimony. We witness these events. We, collectively, millions of parents, are not going to lie to their children and pass on a document that testifies to our eyewitnessing these events and passed on to the next generation and the next generation. And we know that this document was passed on accurately from one generation to the next. In fact, we find now the most recent thing, in fact, we have, I'll mention at the end, we have a video about that, where they found a document that they, a scroll that they attributed to, was about 2,000 years old, and for years they couldn't touch it because it would fragment the minute they touched it. And they discovered a way to, through X-ray and some other modern creative technology, to reconstruct what it says inside without opening it. And sure enough, they have their Chelek Choshu from Sefer Vayikra, identical to our Sefer Torah. And the Teimanim, although they were separated from us for more than a thousand years, and yet their Sifrei Torah came out identical, one word, a hair and an aleph of a difference. whereas other documents are in less time, smaller documents, with greater security. So many changes, so many mistakes, so many different variations. So this document of eyewitness testimony was accurately passed on from generation to generation down to this very day. And we assure that it's passed on accurately. We assure it by the public reading. We assure it by the meticulousness with which we watch the public reader and we correct any mistake even in his pronunciation, let alone a mistake in the text where the Sefer Torah is put away immediately and it must be fixed within 30 days. But we also have protected this eyewitness testimony with a lifestyle. We live by it. And we have lived by it. Our fathers lived by it. Our grandfathers lived by it. Our great-grandfathers, they sat in the sukkah and they took a lulav and they blew the shofar and they wore the tefillin and they wore the tzitzis and so forth and so on throughout the Jairus. So it's not just a historical document. It's not a storybook, but it's alive. It's been part of our life. It's been the basis of our life. We have given our lives for this document over the millennia. So the Messiah is very solid. Not only that, we can trace our Messiah, my Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, to his Rebbe, back to the Vilna Goyen, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's nothing like this in the world. But that's only one aspect of it. The Gemara says, when it talks, the Gemara in Chulin, when it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's knowledge of all the animals and the tarfus and things, different things. So the Gemara says, Otoma, Moshe Rabbeinu kenigi hoyo blisteri hoyo? Was Moshe Rabbeinu a hunter or a zoologist? I don't know what that means exactly. He says, Elo mikan tshuva loimrenim Torah min hashamayim. This would be an answer to one who would say Torah is not min hashamayim. Now, it doesn't say that we know Torah min hashamayim from this. From the evidence that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that no human being could have known at the time, from the information that the Torah tells us, Agav, not just Torah Shemichsav, but even in Torah Shebal Peh, the information that no human being could have known at the time that it was clearly written, that's a tshuva, lo'imrein Torah min hashamayim. We know Torah min hashamayim because we have a testimony. But if one would still be nervous and think all the testimony, but maybe Mulai, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other thing, how do you answer this question? How did Moshe Rabbeinu know information, know all about the animals, things that animals didn't exist in his area at the time? Information about science, information about the world, future prophecy of what's going to happen to the Klal Yisrael, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and so forth and so on. How could Moshe Rabbeinu know all these things? This is the tshuva to anyone who would dare think ein Torah min hashamayim, that Torah is not min hashamayim. So we have testimony and evidence. And it's very important to point out throughout the year the testimony and the evidence, different nevuos, different information. And we find this, there's so many books that were written today, and there's so much information that's available. And every time, and when it's made a big deal about, then it's less effective. There's more resistance. There's more, what's your agenda? Why are you pushing this so far? Or when it's spoken in superlative terms, proof, vadai, beyond any reasonable doubt, incontrovertible, no one in the world could ever deny such a thing, and that's true. But it's too much. It evokes defense mechanisms that fight. And we don't want to fight, because when a person fights, he can confuse himself. But when we give him peace, one after another, after another, after another, and they hear this information, it can have a very powerful effect. And through this process, we can truly strengthen the emunah and what the Rambam calls it. He says, Yediyas dovor zeh is a mitzvah saseh. The knowing about the Bo'irei Olam and all of the yesodos or emunah, this is really knowledge. We are not based on faith. We don't have a leap of faith. A leap of faith is not a Jewish concept. We have rational. The Kuzri explains how Torah min hashamayim is clear logic that anyone can understand. Anyone who sees, who knows what happens, and we find that today. Anyone who really learns about what happened at Har Sinai and how it's been transmitted faithfully throughout the Torah says, yeah, what's the question? It's beyond any reasonable doubt. I like to say, as sure as you are, as your mother is your mother. It's not 100%. People get changed in the hospital occasionally. It happens. But beyond reasonable doubt is the way we live. And this is way beyond reasonable doubt in terms of the clarity of the edus, the testimony, and the information, the evidence that exists that no human being could have known at the time. However, all of this is intellectual. It's important. It's critical. And if I know that it's good for me, that touches the emotions. And I do have to know that it's good for me. And it's very important to know that it's good for me. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch, on one mitzvah, he was not sure what the Tam and Toeles was, and he almost didn't write anything. And then he says he was afraid that if he doesn't write for all the mitzvahs Tam and Toeles, the Torah would seem like a Sefer Chosum, and he was afraid that his children, his child, and his friends would pen yivatu bohem mitoichkach ben arusum yanichem le'olam ve'yelchu le'evel. They'll rebel against all the mitzvahs. Because one mitzvah, they don't understand Tam B'Toeles. He explained Tam B'Toeles to all the other mitzvahs. But there's one, they'll think, maybe this, an excuse, something's funny going on over here. What's it? It could turn them off. So important it is. And therefore, and even it wasn't a Ge'el HaMaisa, because it was a mitzvah called Sor V'Chol Dvash Le'Sakdir Isha L'Hashem. It was something in the Beis HaMikdosh. There was no Beis HaMikdosh, but he was afraid. And the Ralbag in the Toelius in Parshas Lech Lecha says even stronger. He says, if you wish to convince a loved one, that's our Talmidim, because our Talmidim, if we don't love them, then we do not have the vehicle to be able to be mashpia on them. Hashpo comes with love. Hashem's hashpo on Klal Yisrael is because he's boicher be'amo Yisrael be'avo. Moshe Rabbeinu's hashpo on Klal Yisrael was because he loved them kasha yisoho imen es hayonik. And without that love, there's no hashpo. So if we wish to be mashpia on a loved one, to do something that's bitzaru muzar, mitzvah sometimes are painful, especially in our society today where everyone is into just hefkeros and freedom. And some of them are muzar, a little bit bizarre, like, what do you want me to do? This, that, and the other thing. Nobody's doing that. The way to do it is, first, before he knows what it is, tell him the benefits. And the cheshek, he says, for the benefits will mitigate how the pain and the strangeness. And where do we learn this lesson from? From Avram Avinu by the Bris Milah. Hashem did not tell Avram Avinu initially that there's a knife involved in this bris. Only told him there's a covenant that you're going to have Deiris, you're going to have Eretz Yisroel, and only then did he give him the knife and say, there's a pain and there's a strangeness. It was the only one, the first in the world at the time. And even Avram Avinu could have been affected. And it seems for the Ralbag, had he told him that there's a knife and then he told him the benefits, it also wouldn't have been the same thing. He needed first the benefits before he even hears that. So benefits are extremely important. But if we want passion in the Emuna, we have to take it to one further step. And that is, I think, the passion in Emuna could really be called Bitochem Bashem. Because what it really says is that we can connect and have a relationship with Hashem. Relationship with Hashem is so underspoken, is so misunderstood, or not lack of understanding, is so unusual. So many people what V.S. Mendoza, what is that? What are you talking about? And so critical. It's really what Hillel told the Goy when he asked him to teach him the whole Torah Regel Achas, according to one pshat in Rashi. Mada lochsani lechavrach loisabit, ze kol ha-Torah kula, ve'iduch pirusha, zil gemor. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. That's the whole Torah. The rest is only explanation. Now go and study. And who's the chavrach, Rashi says? First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do not jeopardize. Do not destroy. Do not do anything to hurt that relationship with Hashem. That's the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what it is. It's anila doidi v'doidi li, doidi li v'aniloi. That is the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. And that is something that they must feel. That is where Bitochen comes in. And our Talmidim, you know, the truth of the matter is that Bitochen, I've had the experience, can be taught to people who say they don't even believe in anything. They don't even believe in Hashem. They don't believe in Teremi Sinai for sure. And when they learn that there's such a thing as Bitochen, that there's such a thing as a relationship with the Creator, and there's such a thing as being able to trust and rely on the Creator to help me, and there's a menuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind, a tranquility that comes when I can turn to Hashem and rely on Him to take care of everything for me, and it puts me into such a tranquil state where I have nothing to worry about, the ultimate menuchas hanefesh, the benefit that it brings me and the menuchas hanefesh that I feel, when they hear that, all of a sudden they want to be ma'aminim. All of a sudden, what else do you have to say? All of a sudden, what happened at Har Sinai? All of a sudden, yeah, I get it, I understand. Please, how come I never heard about this before? So bitochon is that which can truly activate that sense of emotional connection to Hashem and to Maimon Har Sinai. And it's very important because I'm counting on Him. Trust is really the underlying fabric of any real relationship. A relationship that doesn't have trust, it ends. It can't be a relationship. And trust is the most critical factor. I trust Him. I count on Him. That means I know Him. I know His powers. He can do anything. I know His chesed. He created the world only for chesed. I know His rachamim. He was mishatef rachamim with the midas hadin when it says, b'yoyim b'roi Hashem, b'yoyim b'roi Hashem elikim. And I'm counting on Him. I'm relying on Him. I know He takes care of me. And I understand His chesed and His love. And this really is critical, even to inspire that passion and to maintain the course. Because unless our Talmidim and Talmidois learn about the Chesed Hashem, the Hashkocha Protis, they see, we expose them to Hashkocha Protis from the earliest, from Kindvaizon, from the earliest days, as soon as they can start to speak, maybe before. Then, when life comes with some of its difficulties and challenges, they're better able to cope. But if after a challenge you have to start first teaching them about the Chesed Hashem, it's a much harder sell. And if when we nurture this emunah and then we emotionalize it with this bitochon, we take it from a yediyah, which is what emunah is, and we bring it into the heart when it becomes part of my feelings and I can rely on Hashem and I can count on Him, and I talk to Him and I beg of Him and I beseech Him, but I count on Him to help me. And yes, that is a madrega of bitochon. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, it's not an all or nothing proposition. He says in a letter in Machne Yisroel to the soldiers, he says, "Kefi goydel habitochon kach goydel ha'atzlocha." According to the level of bitochon that a person has, that's the level of atzlocha. It's not all or nothing. Even if my bitochon is not complete, I trust Hashem. I know I still have some questions. I'm not 100% sure. I'm a little nervous. But half something. Kefi, what you have? That's what you influence the results. Kefi, goydel habitochon, kach goydel ha'atzlocha. And it gives me a certain measure of menuchas hanefesh. And when they can see the menuchas hanefesh that the relationship with Hashem can give them, then that's the greatest motivation to have passion, not only for my relationship with Hashem, but for all the Yesodei Hadas, and for all of the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Because Shmiras HaMitzvahs are really bitochon b'Hashem. I trust Hashem that it's the proper thing to do, to close my business and to keep Shabbos. I trust Hashem that it's proper to turn to Him in tefillah. I trust Hashem that when it comes Pesach, this is the food I have to eat. I trust Hashem that when it comes Sukkos, this is where I belong. These are trust, matters of trust. And when I develop a trust in life, and I develop a passion in that relationship, then I develop this passion for Shmiras HaMitzvahs and for Chizuk HaEmunah, and Maimon Har Sinai becomes a reality. I would just like to mention that Rashi in Shir HaShirim says that when we're mistashei b'Torah, that's when we really begin to remember in a conscious way the love that Hashem showed us at Har Sinai by giving us the Torah, and the love that we showed Him when we followed Him into the Midbar. The power of the Torah, to once they have this background, once they appreciate what it is, once they've said Birchas HaTorah and they realize that this is a special gift about Torah Chashuva from the Bnei Olam Himself, and they study the Torah, The Torah Misinai, the Torah that was passed down by Mesoira accurately from generation to generation, from Maimed Har Sinai, from that public event of Ne'am Va'edo to this very day. And then that Torah itself brings back these memories. It evokes that memories. It connects with the subconscious memory of Maimon Har Sinai, and it can excite them, it passionate them in their whole connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with Yahadus. And that's really our job as Mechanchim. We can inspire passion in our students. We must be passionate ourselves about our Yiddishkeit. We must be passionate about our relationship with Hashem. We must develop endless, never-ending, ever-increasing levels of bitochon b'Hashem. We must strengthen our own emunah every day. But when we do so, we can be tefeach amanas latfiach. It can drip from us with such a measure that it can wet them and it can inspire them. And that's really what the chinuch process is all about. I would like to just make a few suggestions before we conclude. We have from Priority One, there's a lot that's available that can help in this process. One is something that's a very popular thing. It's called Strengthening Emunah, and the other side is Strengthening Bitochen. It's available on the Priority One website, priority-1.org. Can send copies to people that wish as well. And it talks about first happiness, then public revelation, then revelation in speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu in front of the whole Klal Yisrael, then passing it down accurately, and all the information of the Torah that no human being could have known, and then Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's just a review of the basics of the Emunah Maimon Har Sinai. And then it goes into a discussion, just a basic review, based on the Chavis HaLevavos HaBitochon. Hashem loves me. Hashem is with me. Wherever I am, is always ready to help me. He's stronger and smarter than anyone in the world and can solve problems that seem impossible to resolve. Hashem knows what's best for me better than I know myself. Just as he helped me many times in the past, he will help me again. No one can do anything to help or harm me. Hashem has total control, and Hashem is compassionate, more than the most kind-hearted person imaginable. A review of these items can be very, very powerful. We have a lot of literature, something that actually these two volumes, one is called Impassioned Chinuch, and the other one is called Instilling a Lasting Emunah and Changing Generation. It's a guide for Mechanchim, are both available on Amazon. There are some other works there that are also available. I'm told that if you, on Amazon, you go R, Shaya Cohen, S-H-A-Y-A-C-O-H-E-N, then you'll find these Guide for Mechanchim and Impassioned Chinuch. They can be gotten from Amazon, can be very, very helpful. There's some other books which are not yet on Amazon. We hope it'll get there. One is Torah Min HaShemayim. This is a compilation on every parsha of some Chizuk Emunah, like a Dvar Torah, very harmless way. Just a Dvar Torah on a parsha, not an agenda. I'm not trying to brainwash anyone. And then on most of the parshas, a statement of how the mitzvahs are beneficial to us, which is the basis which we need to be motivated to be able to have this strength of Emunah. Then I want to mention that there's something else. We recently developed a series of video, short three, four, five minute videos. It's called the Divine Fingerprints series. They can be viewed on the Priority One website. If you just the priority-1.org/fingerprints. And you'll find it there, and there's about 18 that are there, and they talk about, there are different...
/topics/fingerprints.
Oh, excuse me. priority-1.org/topics/fingerprints. Okay, I'm sorry about that. And there's there presently about 18 videos, very powerful, some about Mesoira, some about Nevuas in the Torah, different Nevuas, very graphically, very professionally done. A number of them about scientific information that the Torah has, and Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, which no human being could have known at the time. And these things that also it could be very helpful. You'll see them there. You can, from there, be able to show them in the classroom if you so choose, or if you're having a problem with that, you contact Priority One and we'll make sure that you get it in another format. But these are all things that can help. But I think in summation, a mechaneches has an opportunity to strengthen and impassionate Talmidim over a period of time. We have those talmidim for a year, and especially if it keeps growing and every teacher and every Rebbe and every Mora is on the same page, and we keep strengthening it year after year. And we don't have to overdo it. We don't have to overwhelm them. We can underwhelm them in a way that gradually they pick, I get it. I get it. I get it. I've seen so many different things, so much different testimony, such a clear Messiah, such an accurate Messiah, so much evidence that no human being could have known, and then so much meaning in my life, that connection with Hashem, that bitochen. Don't be afraid to teach them about bitochen. Don't be afraid to tell them that they can trust Hashem. Don't be afraid to tell them, as the Or HaChaim HaKodesh writes in Parshas Bishalach, that the power of bitochen in Hashem is even stronger than the power of tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was crying to Hashem, and Hashem says, "Matitzach elai, dabra bnei Yisrael v'yisor." And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, he says, "Matitzach elai, who should he turn to?" He says, "It's not a time for tefillah. There was a kitrig because of what happened in Mitzrayim. So tefillah is not going to help. But one thing can help. Go into that yamsuf. Show your emunah. Show your bitochen. I trust Hashem is going to take care of us." That has power even beyond the power of tefillah. These are some of the things that I think the method is. We have to work on ourselves. We have to inspire ourselves. We have to feel the passion. And then we can share that and inspire that passion in the classroom. And I think with some of these ideas and some of the tools that are available, and there's so much else that's out there, both in the world of videos and in the written word, there's so much. And I think that Be'ezer Hashem, we should be able to be zeiche, that in the school year and in the years to come, we should be able to inspire a generation with true passion for Yahadus. There are serious problems today of people falling off the cliff, off the derech, so to speak, and a lot of it has to do with a lack of passion. Because when there's passion, then I'm constantly impassionating myself, I'm constantly motivating myself. When there's no passion, eventually even the things that I know fade away. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help that we should be zeiche in this Meleches HaKodesh, which is mamish, not shayach. You know, if Eliyahu HaNovi were to come today and say to us that we need the children, the Tinoike Shel Beis Rabon, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh, and we would say to him, sorry, Ein mevatlan Tinoike Shel Beis Rabon afilu lebinyan Beis HaMikdosh. Eliyahu HaNovi needs them. The Beis HaMikdosh will bring Ashores HaShechina, will bring such Kiddush Shem Shemayim. The world will be V'hoyu Hashem LeMelech al Kol Haoretz, LeMan Das Kol Amei Haoretz. It's Umol Haoretz Deyas Hashem Kemayim LeAmachasim. But the Tinoike Shel Beis Rabban are holding up the world with the Hevel Pihem Shein Bohem Chait, and therefore we cannot be mevatel them. Afilu for the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh. That's the tafkid. Maybe on a higher level today, even higher level students are still today of yesteryear, and we have a tremendous chus. It's the greatest privilege to be able to be marbit steira. God Shporuchu should help ye rosin tishra shchino b'masi yodechem, and we should be zeicha to see a generation of amech kulom tzadikim.